I just got so scared. I didn't say a word into it. I just huddled away, and it's been a traumatic incident. And then I had to go fucking go to someone's house and be like, yeah, this is a nice place. How do you feel about the neighborhood? You know, like,
not good.
Already? Yeah, I'm like, I'm not living here. I don't want that.
Oh, are we rolling right now?
Yes.
Of course we're rolling. Of course we're rolling. Smooth Release Wrestling with Jaswan Red Jefferson. How are you doing that way?
It's a great episode. Great day. And so AEW's feelings are my feelings. So I'm having a great day too, Red. How are you doing?
If we could just make our feelings the episode's feelings, we'd always be okay. Good. Yes, we covered AEW Dynamite tonight. We just finished watching it. This is the woos and whats, the best of and worst of AEW Dynamite. And please make sure to check out our podcast. Check out our podcast. It's available on all the platforms. And if you like it, you can review it. But also follow us on all the social medias, Loser Lee's Wrestling, Loser Lee's Pod at Gmail. But let's get right into the dang show. I decided to give some plugs at the forefront just in case people tune out. You know, they're going to tune out. I'm going to start doing that more often. Thinking about that stuff. I'm
not
on the next
their
level
issue.
Tonight.
Not their problem if they tuned out. You know, things happen sometimes. So it's good that you get it at the front. You get it. Okay.
I'm going to put a little bit of their issue on that. But Moet, let's just jump right into this thing. Moet, what's your big woo of the evening? What do you got?
Oh, my God. Pac returned. He returned in the last 3 minutes of the show,
that's
Red.
100% it.
That's amazing.
100% it.
Feels so good to be genuinely surprised by something and to be excited about it. I didn't know it was even possible. I haven't been keeping up with air flight laws and whatnot. I thought he was just stuck there for forever, really.
Yeah.
So really great. They didn't do a lot. I mean, I would have loved to see him do a couple moves, but you know, it's understandable. That's a little disappointing. But the shock value of him showing up and what that means for Eddie Kingston and his family or whatever, I guess is what they're calling it. It's very exciting.
Whatever.
AEW calls it that. Okay, I don't like
sure.
it. I'm just
no, but and what a great time to come in. Honestly, I was feeling real rough at that ending. The way it was ending, I don't know. Personally, wouldn't get into it. But him coming out at the end, I got me excited. You're right. First genuine surprise I've had in a while. That is like a really good, wasn't expect. And because of the tease last week,
yeah,
because of that, it made it even less likely. Maybe not even less likely, but made me more excited because it felt like a double whammy, which was really cool. It felt like they were really treating us.
I feel like they've done that a couple times now, where they have it feels like they're starting a storyline, then they just drop it immediately. So yeah. Like, it's not worth always picking apart like storylines and be like and getting upset if they just drop it, because that's also part of wrestling. So for them to show this thing last week as a tease and then have him actually return was just a really good 1-2 punch.
Mm-hmm.
But I was thinking, so they did a great job. I thought it was really interesting how Eddie Kingston in his like mini promo that he did, he kicked out Phoenix. Phoenix lost the match and he kicked him out. He just like out of the ring and pointed at him and kind of like started sowing some seeds of like distrust in Penta, which I didn't really get. But when Pac showed up, it made sense to me because it felt like he might be trying to create Death Triangle again.
Exactly.
It looked like maybe Phoenix was going to become a face with maybe even Pac as well as like an anti-hero sort of thing. So I don't know. What do you think that's where they're going? How do you feel?
I love that. I would love that. To be completely frank, I'm not going to, this wasn't one of my what's, but the whole Eddie Kingston, them like what you said, they drop storylines. Like literally they just thought of this idea that, oh, Eddie Kingston, he's breaking up his brothers. They just thought of it today. They thought of that. They're like, oh yeah, he's driving a wedge between them because of course he is. He's been doing it this entire time. And on commentary, they just kept bludgeoning that point to the point like with Tony Schiavone just diving in on it and Kingston not knowing what to say, it drowned out the match for me. For that, when this ending happened, he wraps his arm around Penta, kicks Phoenix. I was into it. It felt very rushed, but I was into it. But then the thing with Pac, what did they call it again? The Deadly Triangle?
The Death Triangle, which is they're both silly, but Deadly Triangle feels like the PG like children's book version of it.
I don't
know why.
There's a Muppet called Deadly.
Yeah,
do you know that Muppet?
Is it from the pirate Treasure Island?
No, I'll have to show you. It's from the new Muppet movie with Jason Segel, but we'll have to talk about it again at a time. But yeah, excellent. Super excited about it. Can't wait to see what happens next. He's in action next week. He's in action.
So he's here.
According
he's here
to TK, good. He's in action. TK. So that's exciting.
Yeah. Did you? I guess I was okay with the way they do it because with Eddie Kingston's thing, because I feel like that's just sort of how wrestling works sometimes, where you just at the end of a pay per view, you just like shift gears and just move on to the next storyline. So I don't know. Did you?
And I like that. I'm glad because one of the great things is about Eddie Kingston is such a conflicting character. I don't know about for you, but for me, like I want to love him and then he pisses me off most of the time, but not like a good way. He needs to move on from his Jon Moxley thing. I don't think he's done with it, which is good because I kind of like that he's going to be this annoying character in Jon Moxley's life, possibly making him lose the title to Kenny Omega, which I think might happen. But I feel that I've lost my train of thought. Eddie Kingston,
hey.
What a wacky guy. I'm sorry,
No, I liked it. Yeah. No, it was good. It was good flow.
Thanks.
I don't know.
Well, let's move on. Well, we got more woos coming up. What's your next big woo? We got the first one done. What's next?
Well, actually, the next thing I was most impressed with was that match, Pentagon versus Phoenix. I thought,
interesting.
Yeah, I thought it was. It reminded me of a Lucha Underground match. There's things actually, this is interesting. I'm just realizing this now, but almost every match, there's something I really loved and something that I despised that I thought was basically close to ruining the match.
What's your you love the match because it's a very good match. Like the match itself was very good.
I'm not happy with how they tore their masks. They both tore each other's masks. Yeah, I think that should because it's we've been conditioned. Sorry, we've been conditioned. Our entire lives that a luchador's mask is the most important thing that you respect at all given costs, and it just didn't make sense to me why they decided to rip them apart in this match. I just don't see the reasoning for it.
I couldn't have this match be one of my woos because of all that. Like, it was a good match. They're very good wrestlers. They did shit like that where there has to be a dial that you can turn them down at certain points. They can't give, I don't want all these star matches. Like, I want it's just like a movie. You can't have a movie that has car crash, car crash, car crash, car crash. You know, there has to be a point where they're talking, you know, and that's what a match is. Like if you have all your matches are 10 minute plus, barn burners, blood. There's blood twice in this episode.
Yeah. Right? Wait. I just know the two of them in the bunkhouse match. Was there somebody else I'm forgetting?
Oh, maybe I'm missing it. But they just had blood. But either way, I feel like them going out, I think they're trying to make up for the fact that their last match, where it got the wacky finish because Phoenix got hit in the head, right?
Yeah, he looked like he suffered an injury.
I think they're trying to make up for it. That's why they're going all out again and ripping at the mask. I wish there was more control. I wish the agents had more, like, a tighter rein on these wrestlers. I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. Some of the moments in this show, actually, last couple weeks, I've been paying attention to this, of how it feels like the wrestlers really are just, like, pitching ideas out to people. Yeah, to Tony Khan or whoever's like the main booker. TK, yeah, like the bunkhouse match. I thought just in general, just the idea of a bunkhouse match happening in 2020. Of course, Dustin Rhodes has to be the one to be like, hey, you know, it'd be cool right now, a match that hasn't happened in 28 years. Like, nobody remembers what a bunkhouse match, and we won't explain it.
Is it 28 years?
No, I just made that up. But
that's
been
close.
Yeah, right. It has to be. I've never heard of a bunkhouse. Because Matt, I personally, but it's easy to understand.
I maybe heard of. I know that Dustin Rhodes, the Natural, had them in WCW. I know that. So it was around 94, 93, 94. We're gonna get. That's a big what of
another
mine.
One. Yeah,
that's okay. A big what. Let me move on to my next. So my next woo. We did not agree on that woo. That match. My next woo is MJF's Inner Circle initiation celebration. What a great speech he gave. He's just like, I've been wrestling for 5 long years. Like, it's just everything he says. And with a small loan of my father for $1 million, it just, like, the allusions to Donald Trump, I thought that he's just perfect. And then him saying happy birthday and getting him all trips to Vegas. Like, yeah. Everything about this is really, and especially with Sammy coming up later, he was told to go to the beach. And he got, like, he didn't get the second email, but, like, I feel like there's so much, whatever they dropped the past 2 weeks, in storyline, they're picking back up now, because I'm excited for him to, everyone to fawn over MJF for being so gracious, and for Sammy to be the only one that sees him for what he is, mm-hmm. even though Sammy is not that good of an actor.
He'll get there.
Him saying, he's just like, I didn't get the second email. I didn't get it. It's so exhausting.
I wasn't a big fan of the first half, honestly, because I thought that I've seen better from both of them, from MJF and Jericho. So, like, all the lines I thought were clever, but they didn't really hit me. I thought they were just, like, kind of, I don't know. I guess I just felt like I'd seen the act too many times, so it didn't impress me the way it usually does. But it did all connect for me when I saw Sammy at the end, and the idea of him giving the ticket and connecting that of just like, here's your ticket to Las Vegas. Like, I can't wait to find out where the hell he ends up tomorrow, next week.
And I can't wait to see that Las Vegas trip. And I don't want to say that it's better than what they've already done, but this is a manageable, sustainable level of entertainment. Like, I was entertained through this. I was never upset at it. And I feel like last 2 weeks, I was pretty upset at what they were putting out. And, like, I'm fine with this. It was short. It was sweet. Like, for what that was in the ring, I was worried it was going to be too long. That's what I'm genuinely worried about with anything with MJF and Y2J, is that it's going to go too long, because they both go long. But that was my second big woo of the night. Moit, what's your next woo? What kind of do you got number three?
Red, I was so excited about Brian Cage versus Matt Sydal.
We got the same one, Moit.
Oh, yeah, I was so happy about it, because it's the version of Brian Cage that I've wanted to see since he debuted in AEW. This 100%. Is the thing, I've seen him pull this version off in other companies, in PWG, Wrestle Circus in Austin, and Impact. Like, he can do this. So, to see it again in AEW was such a treat, you know? Mm-hmm. That's, like, the Brian Cage here was, like, I could see him winning the world title. Like, I think he's that good in this version.
And not to put it down, but, like, it's a huge part due to Matt Sydal.
Yes.
Matt Sydal is a perfect opponent to suit Brian Cage's needs. He's there when you need him. He sells better than anyone. He knows how to have a fiery comeback where he makes you look like $1 million. He made Brian Cage look like a god in this match. I feel like, do you see Matt Sydal moving forward at all? Or do you see him being this perennial level upper?
He's still, I think he's still signed with ROH, I think.
Oh, is he? I thought he was signed with AEW.
No, he's not signed with AEW yet. No. I think he's still signed somewhere else. I believe ROH, I don't know. But so I'm shocked that he's even getting this much attention.
Yeah, now I'm super shocked.
Yeah, so if he's signed, I might be wrong. I have to look it up to double check. But, like, if he is, I'm shocked that they're even giving him this amount of attention. And it makes sense to me why he's a gatekeeper from just, like, a business perspective. Yeah.
Want to know what I feel like at the end of that match, the Matt Sydal-Brian Cage match, which was a great match. One of the Brian Cage's best outings since he's been with the company for me. When Ricky Starks got in the ring and started talking with him, and he had his arm around him, Brian Cage is all jacked up and fired up, and Taz was standing outside the ring. I couldn't help but think, what if it was just those two and not Taz? Get rid of Taz.
Get rid of
Taz in that troop. Have Ricky and Brian be this team that are just like, what about Taz is kind of holding us down, because Ricky could talk.
Ricky's good enough, and
he's fun, and he's charismatic, and Taz is all about, we're two tough guys, and listen to them, they talk just like me, but they don't talk like him. They don't fit. Ricky Starks, like, Brian Cage looks so much more relaxed when Ricky's talking next to him. He looked calm, he looked cool, and he could be a little bit more suave and silly. Taz sets Brian Cage up like he's a monster badass. He's going to give the meanest expression. Ooh. And then Brian Cage doesn't, that's not him. He's not that guy. Everyone makes him everyone's trying to make him look like the monster, which he is a monster, but like a Goliath, like a big, powerful being. But in all honesty, he's a suave beach guy, and he should be with a suave beach guy.
That's genius. Yes, suave beach guy. I hadn't thought of it that way. That's for sure what he is. Because I actually kind of keep wanting him to be this athletic monster type, which he can do, but that just doesn't seem to be the type that he wants to be. Otherwise, he'd fucking do more in promos, basically.
Yeah, he doesn't. Yeah, and with Ricky there, Ricky sounds like he's the mouthpiece for that guy. Ricky looks like the mouthpiece for that guy. They look like they belong with each other. Taz does not look like he belongs with that group.
I do like that he gave him the FTW belt, though. I like that connection.
Sure. No, I love that.
I liked it when they first started because he still kind of it still made sense that he would be this monster character that the other, you know, Miro and Lance Archer are kind of trying to be. But yeah, now I'd love to see them as like two beach bod surfer dudes or something like that. They would totally fit like that.
A legit threat. Like Brian Cage is this brawn, unstoppable monster, and Ricky Starks is the brains. He's the real brains, but he's his best bud. We're just cruising for chicks, but don't get in my way because my buddy's right here, you know? And that could be such a cool tandem. Let Taz do something else. And it's a good way of breaking him out because Taz keeps complaining that he's not getting anything and he's talking to TK and he's getting this. But they could be like, listen, this guy is just a fucking albatross around our necks. We're winning and we're still not getting opportunities. It's because of this guy. Like, that would be great. I would love that.
Because in general, I like Taz. I like his position, but he has kind of got on my nerves. Yeah, I think it is a little too much, or maybe there's not enough, forward momentum. It seems like he's just kind of spinning his wheels with his same, promo style.
Yeah.
So, I don't want to dismiss him completely.
I think his tools are best used elsewhere. Yeah. I'd like to see him a manager for someone else, maybe. One of them would be great for him to manage. Manage fucking what's her name, the Russian that was the judo expert, the fucking wrestler that had these
Layla
fucking
Hirsch?
Layla Hirsch. Have a man because she's a fucking, that's Taz reincarnate.
Yeah, she can be. She's not a totally not yet. They can mold her to become that. Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, I don't know. I just feel like putting a mouthpiece on Ricky Starks is a disservice to Ricky Starks right now.
It was Brian a blessing
Cage
and a curse.
So much happier. Brian Cage is so much happier with Ricky.
Yeah, it was a blessing and a curse.
Rewatch
to see
it. Yeah. Rewatch it with Brian with Taz in the background. Look how happy Brian was. It was sweet.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I gotta see that again. Yeah. I mean, he did a great job, and he had the right dance partner tonight to make him look like a million bucks. So yeah.
Hell yeah. Well, we're on the same track again. What's your next woo? What you got for the woo?
Let's talk about the bunkhouse match. It's time.
That's a woo for you?
That's my woo. That's my number four. Okay. I kind of reluctantly put it there. I don't know. Because like I said, like similar to the other match, there's the... all right, I guess I'll say the bad stuff first. No, the good stuff. Basically, I just had a lot of fun. It was good shock value. I didn't expect to see so much blood. I didn't like the spots in general, but they added so many that the sheer value of amount of them was surprising to me. And it just kept, I didn't expect this much for however long the match was on a Dynamite episode, you know. So I had a lot of fun. The things I didn't like was that I didn't care about any of them. Their stakes weren't there. I didn't understand the story. I didn't understand why they were wrestling, why it got to this point, why they had the blood. Added in here. I didn't understand how to feel about QT Marshall getting his comeuppance, while trying to steal, I guess, a wife from, a married couple is maybe bizarre. I don't know, but they didn't explain it because felt like a good relationship, and because they didn't establish that the bunny is Butcher's wife.
Partner.
Yeah. Partner, yeah, yeah. So they didn't establish that. So when they're together, it's like, oh, I guess it's just like a nice couple, you know? I guess they're, QT and the alley. Or that's great. But they, so, I don't know. It was a complete fucking mess.
Agree
and
entirely.
It pissed me off.
It was a mess. This is a firm what for me. It's a firm what. Should I just discuss my what in this right now?
I think
now,
you
just
should. Yeah.
Well, because first thing, like you said, they didn't explain the bunkhouse. They just said, oh, bunkhouse, it's there. The besides even the storyline, which I don't understand. I don't get the blood feud. I don't get why it got to this point. What is a bunkhouse match supposed to be? Is it just a hardcore match? So if it's just a hardcore match, why are they bringing out bales of hay? Like, if it's a themed match, you have to only use barnyard equipment, or I don't know. I don't get it. And the fact that they brought out a ladder, I hate that. The only time a ladder should be involved in a match is if you have to reach for something. I hate when you're in a hardcore match and a ladder gets brought out. I don't care if you're Jeff Hardy. If a ladder's brought out, I hate that. I really do. And for a bunkhouse match where you're about bales of hay and you have these fucking cowpoke bullshit podunk things and you're wearing cowboy boots and you bring out a ladder, when does it end, Moet? When does it end?
Yeah, that's a good point, Red. That's a good point. Do you know what a bunkhouse match is after watching a bunkhouse match?
Sure, it's a bunch of cowboys. I don't know.
That's basically it. I had to look it up. It's essentially a street fight with a gimmick attached to it. Like, I think it's like a southern sort of thing, like a bunk. I don't know what a bunkhouse is. I assume it's...
I think it used to be called a bunkhouse brawl. And a bunkhouse is a big dormitory where a bunch of guys hang out and sleep on bunk beds because they're going to go to work. And so it's a bunkhouse brawl means all the guys are out and they're pummeling each other in their bunkhouse.
I guess so. Yeah, basically the only rules is that they weapons are legal and, you know, no countouts or whatever. And they generally wear street clothes. I don't know how that's established between them to all just wear your jeans and boots, you know, but that's how they came up with it.
And I just had, I feel like it's such a, it feels like a weird, I don't understand. Like you said, there's nothing to understand. There's nothing to understand. They, the convoluted story with the bunny, oh my God, I forgot about the Butcher and the Blade. The Butcher and the Blade coming out looking like what?
No!
Whatever.
I loved it. I love what they look inside. They look like Street Fighter characters. They look so ridiculous. No, come on. Who also the sheer creativity.
Dumb.
The originality of someone to be like, what if I put two handkerchiefs on my face? Is
this
amazing.
Is gonna be the end of the show. This is gonna be the rift that drives us apart.
I would never think to put two handkerchiefs up so I just have little slits for eyes, just like, just to see. It's a really impressive, bold choice.
It was very bold. I feel like that is the Butcher and the Blade, and I genuinely like I like their look, their faces. They do not understand their own gimmick. They have no idea what they are. You couldn't describe the Butcher and the Blade to anyone.
I don't know
what I
would...
You couldn't describe him in a sentence. You could describe him in two sentences.
How would you describe them? I don't really know. It's just a bald guy with a mustache and another balder guy.
They are two completely different people, both wearing white pants, that aren't sure who the other person is.
No, they're friends. They clearly are
friends. No, I'm saying that's their gimmick. I can't understand how they're even communicating with each other. They're not on the same page. They both are different things besides the white pants.
What do they like to get? We know that they both like to work out because they have ridiculous, but they both like facial hair. So it's possible that they met at a club of some kind, like a facial hair club.
Sure.
A beard and mustache club. They potentially like meats. I don't think they work at a butchery.
They look like they work at a bakery.
Yeah,
all the time. They look
I know
like
what
bakers.
They're called. I feel like it's a. I feel like it was a like a nickname that they got in college or something. Like they worked at a bakery. Like you're the butcher. You look like a you're a butcher. Butch up some cupcakes, you know.
And then Blade walked in. They're like, oh, who is he? Well, he's smaller than a butcher knife. He's obviously like a blade or something. Yeah, he's totally a blade. Like there's no. It's dumb.
I wish that's how life worked. Or maybe
Butcher picked him up like a blade.
And then used him to cut a big...
That's another thing. Butcher and the Blade, one's a person and one's a device, and it's not...
Red. And then the bunny. There's a person called the bunny. Where does the bunny fit in? Yeah. The names do not make sense. They're very annoying. Yeah, but
Butchers, anyway, Bunnies and Blades. It sounds like a Guy Fieri show.
I don't know. There are a lot of things that really ruined the match for me. But I have to say, did I have fun watching it? Yes. Did I enjoy myself? I very much so. So how do you define a match? You know, like how do you do, like? There's I feel like there's multiple criteria.
There
you know?
Is,
and
there
I think
is,
in this version, I had my enjoyment of it was still.
Existing, no, and I get it. I think if I took some things away, I feel like we have to have certain blinders on at any given time to enjoy any match. Mine were just up in one direction that could not get through. I couldn't get through. I just couldn't.
But it's
couldn't
valid too. Yeah, that's totally valid because it's all horseshit.
It was horseshit. Yeah. It was a beautiful horseshit. Well, my next woo, I do not agree with that woo. My next woo is Sean Spears and Tully, just as a package. His match at Scorpio Sky was very good. I wouldn't say that's the part that I'm saying is my woo. My woo is the package of Tully and Sean Spears. They come out looking great. He walks out, and as he's walking out, Tully gracefully just grabs the back of his hood and peels it off of him as he walks.
It's beautiful.
Perfect timing.
Very good.
He slides in the lead, what is the weight?
The slug,
whatever.
I think they call
the
it.
The slug. The slug. Very good. Yeah. The slug. And I just love that pairing. I really feel, and I said this to you a few weeks ago, Sean Spears, the way he's sometimes acting, the way he's acting right now, it's like he figured it all out. I like the idea that this man has a secret, and he has a secret in his head that was told to him by Tully, and now he knows how to win every match. Mm. And now it's so much easier now.
He hit Everything them in the so face easy. With a metal foreign object.
That's a metal foreign object.
That's it. That's all you gotta do.
He's
that's
at
how
peace.
You
I love the idea of Sean Spears just being maniacally at peace with the fact that he knows how to win. Like I love that.
I think that's really funny. The vision that you have of this guy of just like
even though it's not that out.
Now I know how to win a match. You hit him in the head with a chair. No one's looking, and then and the serenity you feel from that power.
I could just imagine him in the middle of the night just thinking that. He's like, of course, it was there in front of me all along. The dirtiest player in the game. That's what
it's
he does.
Right there.
He figured
it
out.
Yeah, I thought the match was okay, but the ending I thought was really great because of the Tully and Spears connection, like you said. That the sleight of hand and whatever the hell Tully was doing was really fascinating. And what was the deal with throwing one to Scorpio Sky? Where do you think?
I don't understand that. I think there was some more miscommunication, something. I don't know.
Okay. I thought maybe there's something deeper there. I was like intrigued. Like, ooh.
There was like
maybe
three or four slugs floating around. I don't know. I have no idea. But either way, the fact got across, which I was happy about. One of the things is it's weird because Scorpio Sky and Sean Spears both like are right there with people who I think deserve some more attention, but I just feel like Scorpio Sky, something about him just doesn't do it for me.
They haven't had I think he hasn't had enough momentum put on him yet because he hasn't got to me what I think, I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's because he doesn't have enough mic time and he doesn't have a story yet for you to really get in. So he's just relying on his in-ring performance for people to care about him, which can only get you so far. I think once they put some kind of story behind him, he'll really shine. Because I think he's really great. I think it just he's had a couple moments of bad luck with that random COVID scare and whatnot. So I don't know. I want to see him go further, personally.
I want to see Sean Spears move on and take that TNT title from Darby.
Wow.
I want it to be fast and decisive. I want him to get it, and then he's just not going to let go of it. And he just has it forever. And he's perennial TNT champ. And he keeps winning because of Tully. Darby can go fuck off and do whatever with his fucking tic-tac jacket. I don't even know what to do with that. What's your next woo, Moet?
I'm done. I'm done, Red.
How do I have one more? The last one
was MJ Jericho. My last one. So that's right.
We got the same. Well, my next one is barely even a one. The Ty Conte versus Red Velvet until the ending. Until the ending, which looked like shit, and they got real confused. But that was a really solid match. That was a really solid match all the way up until that weird ass ending.
What happened at the end? Remind me. I don't.
Miscommunication. It felt like I forget exactly what happened. There was a kick missed, and she didn't sell it. She didn't come. It felt like they were standing around for a little bit. I'd have to rewatch, but I remember being very disappointed by the ending.
Yeah, but I did enjoy both of them. I thought they were great. I think Ty Conte is really good.
She's amazing.
Great. Yeah, I like the mix of martial art, like the mixed martial arts experience she has that she kind of throws in occasionally, submission skills and things like that. And I also like that they're doing another like a women's storyline for fuck's sake.
Yeah,
that doesn't involve Brandy of like it trying to get in the Dark Order. Is she gonna cheat? Is there something there? It's the start of something, for God's sakes. Just give them something.
It's something. It was that was part of the weirdness, but it's at least something. You're right. We have to look towards the positive things. It's at least something. And that's it. That's all of our happy things. And now it's all into the. I have some pretty scathing what's today.
Oh, okay,
I have
good.
Some pretty dicey what's. Moet, what's your first what?
Red, I only got two of them.
What?
Because I was very forgiving to this episode. Like I said, most of my matches I could have put in the what category, but I had to like kind of think about it and kind of.
I have six. I'm one.
Well, match. So I either forgave the matches or I didn't feel like offended enough to even write it down. I was like, yeah, it's just fine. It didn't bother me either way. So I guess I could have put more, and I'll probably agree with a lot of yours when we get there. Anyways, so my number one is the reveal of the giant is Shaq.
Oh, man, I forgot about that.
How could you? Yeah,
man. I have a whole list of things I had problems with that segment.
There's so many. Yeah, you could break out an entire episode of this just on talking about that segment.
Honestly,
it felt like just like late WCW.
And this might be
trash.
Evergreen type thing because it's Shaq. Shaq's. This might be pretty evergreen.
How is this evergreen?
Shaq and AEW. It's always people are always going to look for that.
Oh, yeah, because it's going to be forever. Yeah,
yeah. It's Shaq's first appearance on AEW or mention on AEW is her saying his name, not really being audible with it, and then having the announcers be like, "Oh, Shaq," and then just moving on immediately to Brandy.
She was very bad on the mic, and I feel bad also even just saying because I could. It just felt like she was like new or green. I don't know anything about her. It just
never heard of her.
It had that impression, so I always feel bad about like. Criticizing people who feel very new because they're still learning and they deserve the time to learn. But the difference here is she was going against Cody in a very big moment for AEW in the show. So like, I think you can maybe not necessarily against her, but the producers that allowed her to do this.
Who put someone, and no offense to her. Her name is Jade Cargill.
Yes,
Cargill, and I guess she's been wrestling. I didn't really see anything crazy or outstanding about her. She interrupts a Cody promo, which Cody promos are huge turning points in each show. they're like the focal points. They're the spot on the show.
Oh yeah,
and she interrupts it, and maybe she's a good talker because towards the end, in certain parts, I could see like, oh, she's definitely got some personality. She's definitely there. There's something there. She's just never worked in this environment before. She's never done a show at a stadium ever. Nobody does a show at a stadium unless it's a big pay-per-view, unless you're in AEW and you're in COVID. Now you're at a stadium where you can't hear anything. You don't know when to talk. And then the breakdown of it. Cody sounded like an idiot. She sounded like an idiot. Brandy came out with hot fire, spills everything. She just like rips her to shreds immediately to the point where she looked like an idiot. She made this girl look like an idiot. Then she comes out with the Shaq mention where I didn't hear it at first. I didn't understand it. And then shaking hands, and then fucking who came out? Darby Allin came out. Team Taz, and then the spike jacket.
Oh yeah.
And then they all and Will Hobbs comes out, and they all shake hands. Yeah. Cody and Will Hobbs and Darby all shake hands. Very good.
And Will Hobbs did nothing. He runs out and rips his shirt off.
Rips his shirt off after they leave.
All the credit. Yeah.
I can't. That was one of the worst Cody segments.
It's crazy. Yeah.
That was bad. And I feel
my main issue with her is how she talked. I couldn't take how slow she talked. I feel like someone gave her like one bit of advice at the end of just like, when you mention Shaq, take your time with it, because it's going to be a big deal. And she's like, yeah. It's like, take your time. Okay, yeah. Because when you say Shaq, when you say it, the house is going to go down. So take your time. Build up the anticipation. It's like, yeah. And then she goes out and just does everything at 24, 0.25 speed. Yeah,
you're right.
On YouTube.
You're right. They were just like, she was probably going back and she's like, and this is the main event, this giant guy. And they're like, whoa. You're at a stadium. Take it down. And she goes out molasses speed. Even Cody's tapping at his
watch. He did that. I was wondering if he was trying to tell her, tell her, like, as a performer, like, hey, come on.
Yeah, you know? I'd assume so.
Like, and I thought that was... Yeah, like, because it's
he's one of the producers of this segment.
You can't say, he has to remain in character, too, which I think I always find really fascinating about wrestling.
You know,
how do you talk to someone, code words and stuff is really good.
You know, I almost feel like AEW, sometimes people could take a note from WWE with refs, put an earpiece in their ear. And tell them what to say. Why is there more of that?
Oh, yeah, because refs do it.
Refs do it all the time. They're telling them all the time. Why don't they put an earpiece in these people and have that, I don't know. I don't know.
There's got to be a way. We should try this out one day. I think that, because my first thought when I heard that was that must make it even more difficult to do a proper emotional promo. If you're just waiting to hear the words so often,
I was in sales, when I was in phone sales, there'd be my manager listening on the phone call, and eventually, the person on the phone call was saying something that they didn't want me to sell, they wanted to think about it, they need to talk to their wife, and then he'd start talking to me, and I have to say everything at the same time as him, as he's saying it, and I have to put feeling and sound like myself while doing it, and he starts, it's called parroting. You're supposed to parrot. And the way you train for it is you watch the news, you turn on some TV, and try to say things as they're saying it.
What?
And you can't. Because really? You see their inflection. Oh, yeah, because you kind of, your brain feeds as you're saying something. I'm a salesman here at, and I could fill in, you're going to say, yo, I get that.
I was trying to do it right now in the moment. I forgot we're on a delay because we're doing this through Skype, but I realized it screwed you up a little.
What? No, let's do it right now. You follow me. I'm going to say the words.
Oh, of course. I'm going to follow you. Yeah.
Hello. My name is
Mowit.
And I am with Loser Leaves Poop.
Oh, damn it. Got him.
I made him say poop. I'm glad we went through that exercise just to show people how easy it is.
What if that was live? I had a live mic next to Cody Rhodes. He's got his killed last. I'd be embarrassed.
Mowit, I kind of want to start a hashtag that Cody fears Mowit. And imagine if we ended up working at AEW.
I know, man. It'd be so exciting.
It'd be so cool. We should constantly plug that we want to get a job at AEW. This is how we get big. We start talking about this stuff now. That's smart.
Yeah. We could break this apart for ages. I mean, I only have one more. I don't know what you...
I'll get a couple of mine in.
Okay,
here's one that's just a pet peeve that's been around for a while. Well, we already talked about Bunkhouse, so I don't need to talk about that anymore. The four-man booth. Four-man announce booth needs to go.
What?
I cannot take them plus a Taz, plus a Eddie, plus a Jericho. I hate three men booths as is. Having four is too many. It sounds bad. It's ruined a couple matches tonight, in my opinion. I feel like get rid of Kingston should not be doing it. Jericho only when he needs to replace someone. Taz only when he needs to replace someone. It's too distracting. It's too distracting.
So what's your, like, ideal booth scenario? Not even, like...
For AEW?
In general, like, the people... I'm not even asking about that, but you can mention it. But, like, the chemistry. Like, what do you want to hear when you're watching a good match?
I want a two-man booth. Two-man yes. booth, play-by-play, one providing color. If there's someone that's a part of the match or adding to the... the next pay-per-view, something like that, or they're going to have a match next week, maybe a third person for that one specific match. And I would like there to be a relationship between the announcers and the behind-the-scenes correspondent. I want to see, this is what I would like. I would love Excalibur being play-by-play. I want JR to do color. He's not a color guy, but have him do color. He can. And have Tony Schiavone be the mean gene in the back, and they throw it back to Tony. And Tony's in the back giving interviews. Alex Marvez, bless you. Bless your sweet soul. Please don't. Don't.
Yeah, he's don't fine. Anymore. He's fine. I don't care either way about him.
I feel like there's too many cooks in this damn kitchen. The announce table has four people most of the show. There's a million producers in the back that aren't writing. They're not writing TV. I don't know. There's only one person writing TV, but there's a million writers that are the wrestlers. Hmm. The wrestlers are the writers. Now there's locker room full of them.
Excalibur would be a good play-by-play. But the only problem is, I think he respects JR too much. Or maybe there's a note backstage to respect JR too much, because JR is seen as the leader. And You're going to talk to him.
I'll tell JR. That's what AEW needs. It needs us more to lay down the hard news to these wrestlers. TK can't look like
you're
a
bad guy. You're gonna tell JR to not be such a bully, or what?
I'm gonna be there too. We're gonna get a job at AEW. We already discussed this. Where we're gonna break the bad news to legends that TK doesn't want to get upset at him. So what we're gonna do is we're gonna play good cop, bad cop to JR, and I'm gonna be like, JR, you gotta let Excalibur call this, because you get confused. You get confused easily. You're like, whoa, red, he's a legend. He's JR. And that's what you're gonna do. You're gonna be in between us being like, fluffing up his ego, but he's like, but yeah, he's too chicken to be a color commentator. And he's like, chicken? Oh, who said I'm chicken? And that's how we're gonna get them to do what we want.
You gotta throw in JR.
Toxic masculinity.
Gotta throw in a JR's barbecue reference in there.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
Put some chicken on that barbecue on that chicken. I don't know.
Yeah, well, let's keep saying that to him too. Let's put barbecue on that chicken. JR, let's put some barbecue on that chicken. Get in the color commentary position. And he'll be like, well, we're putting barbecue on that chicken.
I do like his restaurant quality picture in picture. That is starting to warm up to me. I have started to love that. Nice. Well, it wasn't so great this week.
It's endearing in the way that I can't imagine how frustrating it is to be a producer in the back. That's just like they must be overwhelmed as is, because obviously they're not doing a great job. They're missing. They're missing music cues. They're missing sound cues. And to have JR razzing them, like, we're going to have the picture-in-picture. Great picture-in-picture right now. Any minute now. Three, two, one, picture-in-picture.
Oh, like, yeah. And then to, like, play it up, I would get really upset if I was a producer. I would be so mad at him. But, yeah, the whole this week he didn't say – he called it history-making picture-in-picture. History-making, but usually he really shines it up as, like – the finest high quality restaurant quality, fine dining experience you could get, picture in picture, you know, and that's really fun.
He's a real goof. Well, we got a couple more ones here. Mo, what's your next one? What do you got?
Next one, the Ricky Starks promo. I don't even remember it. I wrote it down. I just thought it was a bit extra. That's my problem with it. It was short, and I know he could do better. And I think he was more of a caricature in this, of just like the way he was. The inflection in his words and his, you know, his rhythm and everything. It just seemed, and hit it, and then the music didn't happen for like a solid.
I thought that was very funny. Actually, everything about that, I liked it, because of the Taz being in the back. It was short. I didn't like him saying, because the revolution will be televised. I don't like that as moniker or as a saying. I thought that was lame. But him saying hit the music and it doesn't hit, is the funniest thing. That's the best way to describe AEW right now. It's like, hit the music, a lot of high energy, we're ready to do this, the lights don't turn on. it's pretty funny. And that's actually a funny gimmick if they keep that going, where Ricky's just like, hit the music, and no one's hitting the music.
That is good. And then it reminds me of how when Cody came out and the pyro hit happened, one of the pyro just like arced over him and he had to like shield himself.
Yeah, I saw that.
So I mean I'm glad he's okay, but it also was pretty funny.
It's pretty funny.
Similar to be like, you know, this really like, we got fireworks, how cool is this? It's like pew, almost hits him in the face. Like, just a little, I don't know why that's funny, saying it out loud. It makes me sound like an asshole, actually. But I thought it, yeah.
Man. Well, anyways. I got a few more. I'm going to rapid fire these. JR's calling, was it Jason Roberts or Justin Roberts?
The ring announcer, Justin Roberts.
Justin Roberts. JR calling him the dapper yapper over and over again, and he doesn't shut up about it. He's been doing it the past 2 weeks.
I did not know that. Pisses me off. That's pretty good. Keeps
saying, but it's annoying when he says it. I don't know. Young Bucks talking ever. Young Bucks having anything to do with a mic. Can't deal with anymore. Yeah, it's forgettable. They talk to Alex Marvez. Alex Marvez is like, oh, don't kick me anymore. He's like, oh yeah, we kicked you in the lip, right? We kicked you right in the lip. Yeah, we kicked you in the lip, right? Oh no, Alex Marvez. Like, it was weird.
Yeah, they are really bad.
No, they shouldn't. They're weird. They're weird.
That is very weird.
Last one is Matt Hardy promo where he was justifying Sammy's burial at Full Gear.
Oh yeah, I just completely forgot about that. That would have been on my what's. That one for sure.
What a terrible... First thing, so the Full Gear match. By the way, I'm not trying to brag, but I did watch AEW Dark and Being the Elite today.
Very nice.
Well, Dark yesterday, Being the Elite today, which was very good for the Hangman Page stuff. I would love to talk to you about it, but we can't talk about it today because there's no Hangman Page stuff. But Matt Hardy, he at Full Gear, they had this match, and he beat him by putting him in a trash can?
Yes. Yeah.
So you're this veteran that's trying to pass the torch to this young upstart kid. Why don't you have this blood feud? And why don't you're pretty much on your way out? You can barely walk. And why don't you do? And your dying moments of being a wrestler, you take this young upstart, put him in the trash, and have Senor Benjamin drive him off. And then you cut a promo this week showing footage of you putting him in a trash can and then saying, yeah, he's got a great future out, a bright future. He's the next. And he really did up his game in his mouth. Whatever. What is. No?
Well, so what was the promo about? What did he say?
The promo was just saying that he had a blood feud with Sammy Guevara, that he won, but Sammy Guevara is pretty cool still, or something like that. I don't know. I don't understand why they would put Matt Hardy over.
Yeah. I don't know what his role is in AEW anymore.
What is he? Is he going to face for the championship? Is he going against Mox?
I don't know.
Is he going against Mox? Or does he have a promo with MJF coming up?
No.
Or no, is he a bad manager to a rough tag team right now? Yeah.
That's what it is. He's not doing anything. He didn't set anything up. Maybe they will again, but I hope not. I just don't want him to see him wrestling. He could be fine in a tag team scenario. But I don't like listening to him talk anymore. I don't like the segments anymore. Just something just changed within the last year or two. Maybe I got tired of it. Maybe that's what it is. Too much Matt Hardy, but
I think we've had too much Matt Hardy.
Yeah, but it was great while it lasted. It was real good when it happened, while it was happening, when it was fresh. Oh, that was great when he first arrived. Those are great glory days, you know.
Yeah, they were glory days
when he was teleporting
March
around
was
the ring.
Glory day. March was glory days. It really March. Was. Those it really freaking was. Wow.
The good old days. Just a couple
wanna
months
cry,
ago.
By yeah. way. I want to cry. That was AEW Dynamite. The woos and whats of my AEW Dynamite. How do we like the show, Mo? Are you feeling good about it?
Hey, I feel pretty good about it overall. I don't know. It's the start of all these new stories that are going to last us until January. I think that's fun. This is
we're getting packed next week. We're getting packed next week. And I think December 2nd, we're going to see Omega versus Jon Moxley on Dynamite.
That's crazy. That's absolutely crazy. I thought that'd be a pay-per-view match. Yeah, so
I'm so thankful that it's not. boy, what a great time. And we're going to have some more fun next week. But make sure to follow us on Instagram at Loser Lee's Wrestling, YouTube Loser Lee's Wrestling, Twitter at Loser Lee's Pod. Give us some mail for the mailbox. Loser Lee's Pod at Gmail. And review us on the podcast. And
Red, I got a question for you. Do a promo on Apple products right now.
All right, Apple, Steve Jobs, you think you're so cool, Steve Jobs. Well, I got something for you. Put it up your PC and stuff it.
Goodbye, everybody. This is the end of the show. You thought it'd be me. You thought it'd be me, and I turned it around on you this time. It was pretty good. I felt pretty good.